just minutes from the track. And the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.
Hey, it's another gorgeous Saratoga morning here on a Thursday morning in front of Clare Court. I'm Seth Merrill, and welcome to Racing Across America. Coming up this morning, we'll be joined a little bit later on by our friend Dave Grenig from the Daily Racing Forum, do a little recap of some of the action over the past week, and then look ahead to some of the stakes races coming up over the next couple of days. All of that shortly. A little bit later on, Jason Brinkman and Brian Spagnola from America's Pastime Stables will join us to talk about their locally based partnership and more. And they also have the women's partnership, a league of their own. They'll talk a little bit about that as well. Before we get to our first guest, however, let me remind you at the Clubhouse Racebook today, prize wheel day at the Clubhouse Racebook. Keep that in mind for today. Always a lot of fun. Maybe you get to spin the wheel for some prizes. Tomorrow, trifecta challenge at the Racebook. The bounty bet returns also tomorrow. Keep that in mind. Show pool, Sunday show pool entries will open tomorrow online. Don't forget it's also cookout at the clubhouse on Fridays through the end of the Saratoga meet. Hot dog, burger, baked beans, pasta salad, $10, 1 to 5 at the Clubhouse Racebook on Fridays. Saturday and Sunday at the Racebook. Saturday, play the board contest. Sunday, it's the double promo match bet and Exacta board. That's all 711 Central Avenue in Albany. So lots of action coming up via Capital OTB. Up here at the racetrack today, low roller. So keep that in mind if you're headed up here. All right. Happy to be joined now by our first guest. It's Kevin Cox, the Brooklyn Cowboy. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Very good. Before we get into handicapping for today, just reflect on what has been a crazy last few days, going back to last weekend, canceling some races on Friday. The unfortunate, boy, I've never been at a racetrack with an incident like that with Maple Leaf Mel. But then Way to Barrio has what has been overshadowed a little bit, a career best performance for Way to Barrio. And then yesterday with the power outage, the hits just keep on coming. It's been a funny few days up here.
You know, when I used to watch read public sports handicappers in the Daily News, they would call everything in units, and then all of a sudden they would say, all right, we're going to start out at zero again. And my father would say, how could they do that? But, you know, this is a perfect opportunity to start fresh this meet, both from a betting aspect and just a mental aspect of what's going on. You can't let it carry over. We had the two dark days, and you don't want to forget what happened, but you're allowed to put it in the recesses of your mind. Yeah.
And there was, you know, nice outpouring. The follow-up articles were very nice. I mean, Brendan Walsh bringing the blanket of flowers over to Melanie Giddings was
very classy. Yeah. And there was so much stuff on Twitter about it. And I always remember Gretchen Jackson's quote, who owned Barbaro, and she simply said, "Grief is the price we pay for love." And that just sums it up. If you love a person or a horse, you're going to feel 10 times that much pain when something like that happens.
That's nice. All right, let's get a little action for today, and then we'll talk some other things as well as we wrap things up. But today we have a couple of ideas, and we'll kick things off in the fourth this afternoon. Plain Vanilla, $25,000 claimers, 9 furlongs the trip. I debated. I'm not totally convinced on Dust Devil. I went in that direction. To me, the alternative was 235, Anthony Mormino, like Truculent. I had that one. I considered, but on the class move, I wasn't sure. I went 5-1-7-3. What did you see in the fourth?
Well, before we get to who I went with, you know, I was watching you guys from the 9 o'clock show. I don't live that far from here. And I have, some say a maniacal, some say devoted tendency to update my column throughout the day, depending on rain or this or that. And I had just finished writing all my notes. I'm doing a seminar later for Saratoga. Now you have to do it all over again. You guys, they announce those off-the-turf races at 10 after 8. I don't know how you all do it. You know, you have everything in your head, and then you have to do things on the fly. At least I have a little more time than you. But that's why I chose 3 dirt races today, because I had a feeling, we all had a feeling this was going to happen. Like you, I landed on the number one, 235. First, from an emotional aspect, you see this horse is a 9-year-old gelding, and kind of sad because he's still earning checks, and he won't be allowed to race on the circuit.
That's right.
On December 31st. They don't allow 10-year-olds on the circuit. It's a blanket rule. I have my own opinions on that. ran decently last time out, played the fade late against cheaper. But if you notice, I still look at the variant at times, not as a handicapping tool, but as a barometer. And the track was extremely deep that day. So maybe the effort on the front end was a little better than it seemed. Ended up at a new barn afterwards, and with the new jail rules, this horse is no longer in jail for 30 days. Is out of jail now in a shorter period of time. Was floated six wide in an eight-horse race, which is kind of a death knell also for a mile and an eighth race. Three for six when loading first. I like to pay attention to that, especially in a race like this where it's important to save some ground. So I landed on 235. Goes over the $700,000 mark. What a war horse with a runner-up finish today. My second pick is the number three, Rocco Strong. This one is dropped in class while being out of jail. So when you see that, it means the horse is usually priced to move. We just had my buddy Marshall Graham on last week. He runs 10 Strike Racing. Him and Clay are pretty sharp. Even with a runner-up finish and a claim today, the horse breaks even. I don't think the horse will be claimed. It was kind of an interesting claim last time at 13-1, especially off of four off-the-board finishes.
But Marshall's clever, though.
Oh, yeah. They know what they're doing. I will never doubt anything they do. They know exactly what they're doing. Game runner-up in the third off the layoff time behind a next-out winner. And then my third choice is you have to put number five, Dust Devil, in there. But like you said, there's just something about it that kept me from putting the horse on top. I really don't know what it is. Won in a near-identical spot 2 weeks ago. The jockey-trainer combo have won their last two routes together at $24 and $21 and digs the trip and strip. You can't leave the horse off any rollers you're inclined to do. Be careful going forward after this race because they're calling for the rain around 3 o'clock. So I landed on the 135. We both landed on the one.
All right, the fifth race this afternoon. We're looking at State Bred Maiden Special Runners. They're going to go 3/4 of a mile. I use the horse with experience, Book of Wisdom, but there are firsters in here. Nothing jumped out at me. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. Nothing jumped out at me when I looked up the breeding and whatnot, but by practical joke, Pretty Up was interesting. Recency with Tappet. Miss Dior Sherry, I may regret, because yesterday when that horse was entered, I was a little higher on the horse. There's a sibling that won its career debut, but it was on turf. I may kick myself that I put Miss Dior Sherry in the bottom spot. I have it 8, 7, 5, and 9. What did you see in the fifth?
I'll work a little bit backwards here. I have your number 8, Book of Wisdom, second. And on paper, the horse looks logical. Finished second first time out, but that was in a truncated field. It was a 5-horse race. So second in a 5-horse race, you could say, is almost like fourth in a 10-horse race if you want to prorate it like that. The pedigree is still unproven because of the asterisk next to the Tomlinson. So I like to see two starts before I go all in on a horse, especially on the win end. One of those horses you need to incorporate, but maybe you could find something a little else. I did go with the number 9, Miss, say it again.
A Dior Sherry, I'm going
You're
with.
You're better at it than I am. And with my Brooklyn accent, it wouldn't come out good, even if I knew how to pronounce it. Went for 8 times the stud fee at auction, which is something we always like to see. Working very well and draws ideally. Some people don't like with the maiden first-time starters. They like them breaking in between so they can be kind of guided out there. I always like the outside slot. You see the bullets right there on the work tab. And Clemence and Franco are 3 for 3 with local first-time starters. $16, $5, and $13. So Franco knows how to get them going early, outside draw. So I'm on 1-8, and my third choice is the number 1, Snarky. Went for a lot more than the $2,500 stud fee at auction. Went for about 47 times more. But, you know, this is a weird stat. Pratt and Rudy are 0 for 18 together. I mean, you can't figure it. Plus, breaking from the rail first time out, it was enough for me to keep this horse underneath. So I went 9-8-1.
Yeah, I may kick myself on the 9-1.
You can change it.
I like
it. You can do whatever you want.
It's all printed. It's printed up places. But I can say I like the horse, and so I would not argue anybody off it by any means. This is one where I took a shot. Sixth race is one of those restricted maiden specials, 6 furlongs the trip, and I took a shot with Secret Lover by Kozan. And it's another race where nothing really jumped out at me. I thought the Pletcher horse was interesting, Con 8. I use LaDom Bro, the other Antonio Sano. I have the longer price of the uncoupled entry, but I talked about on the prior show, my dark horse play of the day because of the breeding, which is interesting. The horse doesn't absolutely thrill me, but at 20-1, I couldn't let this one get by me. So I put Secret Lover on top, 7, 8, 3, and 4. Your thoughts in the sixth?
It's pretty interesting. Now you have me looking. You know, the one thing I like to see when there's an uncoupled entry, especially with babies, is if they've been working together. Obviously, LaDom Bro is a little more advanced than Secret Lover, so Sano's kept him apart in the mornings because he doesn't want to discourage the one animal.
Right.
Let the horse mature on his own a little bit. I did go with LaDom Bro on top. You get an upgrade in the jockey department. According to DRF Formulator, Sano, who only wins at 11% of the time, from 10 starts, has 4 wins, 2 seconds, 2 thirds, and a fourth with maiden special weight dirt sprinters getting LASIK, who hit the board 15 to 33 days back. And I like the versatility shown last time out. The horse has gotten brushed and smacked around a bit. And while being on the front end first time out, came from off the pace a little bit second time out. You like to see that with your babies because it shows a little bit of maturity.
Yeah.
You have the excuses. And so I went with the 3, and I went with the 8, Cone 8. This horse has been working out for Todd down at Monmouth. You have to figure there were easier options down there.
Yeah.
Brings the horse up here. Bullet Gate Breeze always merits inclusion, no matter what track the horse is running on. Stakes Place Dam and the sire won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint, so you have some decent pedigree there. And my third choice is the number one, Wild Steve. The one thing is McPeak is not known for his first-time starters, so you might want to keep this one in your unders. But setting stopwatches ablaze, as they say, in the morning. So in that race, I went with... by the way, Wild Steve is a half... to a present-day runner who's currently on a 3-race win streak, 6-for-20 lifetime. So I went with 3, 8, 1, and 6. So we're kind of around the same horses in these races.
Yeah, that 6 is very interesting to me. Fridays and Saturdays, your play of the days, and so we still have about half the meat left for firing the plays of the day, the DePaula play of the day, and part of the fun part of Saratoga, taking the shot.
It is and it isn't. You know, I'm notorious for doing them 3 days out. And on the big card, where the big race day, I went with Caravelle. And I took some guff for taking... I do it before the odds come out. Figured the horse would be 4-5, whatever. Even money, because the field was a little bit salty. But, you know, when you're doing it 3 or 4 days out, you know, you kind of take the good with the bad. We're right around at the break-even point for the meet, which is fine. You know, this is where we were last year before we showed a flatbed profit. Fridays and Saturdays. And then, of course, the column is always on this website and several other websites. And on Sunday, I do my annual Bijou homage to my father, which is always a favorite. You know, you go by his plaque and you'll see some people will leave notes or a couple of flowers there, which is kind of nice because basically it talks about fathers and sons in Saratoga.
And where is the plaque?
The plaque is the live band shell. You make a right into the building, right under where the old scratch board used to be, where my parents used to sit.
Nice.
So it's kind of cool. Me and all my friends will do a toast there, and then Monday night after the sales, I'll do my father's traditional lobster fest that he used to get at the old Weather Vane restaurant right here in town. So twin lobsters, of course, for everybody. And what we need this week is a little bit of positivity,
no matter which
way you take it.
We got a little bit of that, though, with the sale. You're referring to the New York Red sales coming up Sunday and Monday. And, again, tell people to go over there if you've never been. It's a lot of fun. But I saw you over Monday and Tuesday at the big sale, and that had some positivity. You know, we talked about it yesterday on the show with Nicole Russo, some fireworks, certainly. They had $2 million horses on Monday, but then 8 over 7 figures with a $4 million and a $3 million on Tuesday. So there was some positivity over there, certainly.
It got a little bit hectic with that sales topic because everybody was so mesmerized. Even the guy that slides open the door was kind of frozen in his tracks. And that horse was just itching the rear up the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were yelling, open the door, open the door. And finally he slid the door open and they got that horse out of there. But I recommend anybody who gets a little intimidated about going to the big sale, go to the New York Bred sale.
Yeah.
Regular folks there, you can always... you know, wear what you want, and you can float around in the building outside and go from barn to barn. It's a good time.
I would think Jack will be over there, Jack Nolan. He's doing okay with New York Reds.
Jack will be over there with money in both hands.
And you're going to be at the Funny Side event over at Ciro's, correct?
Right. I'll be at Ciro's today doing a seminar for Saratoga. I do a few of those throughout the summer for different people. And then next Wednesday, they're having a kind of a memorial benefit for Funny Side where they're raising money for Kentucky Horse Park, which is a real good deal. It's $35 general admission, which gets you some grub. $100 VIP gets you a T-shirt and a seat, which can be important these days. Gets you a seat, and you know, Saratoga does everything in a classy level, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. I'm planning to go over at Capital TV, one of the sponsors, and so tell people to go over there as well. Kevin, appreciate the visit. Good luck this afternoon.
You too.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, again, Dave Brennick from the Daily Racing Forum scheduled to join us, Jason Brinkman and Brian Spagnuolo from America's Pastime. All of that when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Turn your love of racing into savings with equine discounts through the NTRA. Purchase through equine discounts and receive great savings on well-known brands like John Deere, Sherwin-Williams, Big Ass Fans, Farmers Insurance, and Office Depot. Join thousands of other equine members and support companies that give back to the sport we all love. Call 866-678-4289 or visit equinediscounts.com to start saving today.
Sometimes it pays to go with the flow, to check your worries at the door, to reconnect with your crew, to follow the thrills and the flavor, to roll with it and see where it takes you, to enjoy every minute to its fullest, and to dance like there's no tomorrow. You can do that here at Rivers Casino and Resort Schenectady, where the good times flow.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Thursday morning. Thursday, of course, meaning a visit from the Daily Racing Forum this morning. Dave Grenning in. And, Dave, good morning.
Seth, how are you?
Very good. You just buzzed in, doing the normal work on the backstretch and clocking. Any notable news this morning?
Yeah, we had Tappet Trice and Forte breeze together for the Travers. It was like 48 and 2 or 3. Good gallop out. I think I had Forte a little bit stronger on the gallop out there, probably by design, 127 and a couple I had it there, and it's not there. He did not wear blinkers in the workout today, but he will wear blinkers in the race, as he did in the Jim Dandy. But those two were the sort of the more notable names on the tab. Nest, before that, getting ready for the Ursula Ensign. She also had a, you know, but a little bit slower, 49 and change, with you know, equally strong gallop out, though. She's that's sort of Todd's forte, and so to speak, and MO, which is that they, you know, these huge, very strong gallop outs, and, you know, at least forte and Ness put those in this morning.
Before we get to the next couple of days in stakes races, let's kind of go back and recap. Obviously, it was a just it's a, been a crazy few days, and first and foremost, got to touch on Maple Leaf Mel, because you did a nice follow-up article on Sunday going out there and talking to some of the folks, and just it reflected what it meant to the whole community that Melanie Giddings was getting a lot of support the day after, and certainly it was a great gesture, Brendan Walsh bringing the blanket of flowers over.
Yeah, it was such a difficult 24 hours there, from the time that the horse would look like she was going to win by many, and you know, culminate a great story, right? 6 for 6, the coach gets his first grade one, she gets her first grade one, Melanie, and you know, just and it just turned tragic very late. And then, as you mentioned, the racing community sort of gathered around with the support for her, and bringing those flowers from the test over, which they didn't even take for the race. You know, Brendan and the Godolphin team did not. There was no winner circle ceremony. Yeah. And I think the assistant trainer named of Charlie Lynch, I believe, retrieved the flowers, and then they decided as a group to bring them over. And I wasn't there at the time that they brought them over, but I talked to Melanie right before that, and it was just a kind of a cool, classy gesture. And I actually stopped by there today just to check on her and say, you know, just see how she was doing. And she looks tired, and she's got a runner in today, and, you know, hopefully that can uplift her spirits and, you know, just get going again. You gotta get back in it, and this is what they do. This is their livelihood. It's not just a 9-to-5 job. This is their lives, and you know, she had to be out there the next day.
Such a bond with the horse, and you can see she was devastated there. So it was nice to see that the folks. And Jeremiah, I was interested to see. Was watching from home and hopped in the car with his kids and went
came
over.
I mean, like, they still have a look. You know, yes, it was Jeremiah's filly at first, and then you know, the coach made a decision to move the horse to Melanie, but he still has, you know, good relationships with both parties, actually, the coach and Melanie, and he thought to come over and check on her the next morning as well. And you know, it was a lot of the class came out, and a lot of people as a result of the tragic situation.
It was a rough afternoon, certainly. And I also was interested to read that, as I understand it, is not actually a sibling, but there's a new horse in the stall, Mel's little sister.
Yeah, I think it has the same sire, but it's not on the same dam. And I remember Melanie telling me about that horse, and I actually saw it this morning, and it's huge. This horse is just a monster. She does not look like a 2-year-old. And I think also because of how big she is, there's no rush to get her the races. What I read in the stories that you alluded to was that they're looking to maybe get her started going a little bit longer down at Aqueduct when you know, later in the
That was intriguing. Owned by the coach as well. Something that got, you know, understandably overlooked on Saturday, White Abario, we have the stretcher on here, runs the best race of his career and wins the Whitney. And you know, I don't want to get away from the weekend without recognizing it was a fabulous performance from White Abario.
Yeah, you know, you come into the race and all the focus is on Cody's Wish. And, you know, I thought that he could handle the mile and eighth without much difficulty. He'd run a good race at a mile and 16th a year and a half ago at Tampa Bay Downs. Look at that tape, the one race he ran there. But you know what? He's just a miler type horse, and they'll probably go back to it. And here you see why. You know, the one thing about the horses that he beat in the Met Mile, Zandon and White Abario, who ran 2-3 in that order behind Cody's Wish in the Met Mile, they were grade one winners at a mile and eighth. So, yeah, I think the surprising factor here is how dominant he was winning this race. He won by six and change. I don't know that it's, you know, this is what those two horses probably do best. He won the Florida Derby at a mile and eighth, and he hadn't really had that opportunity since then. He switched barns. He ran a really good race in the Met Mile. They were thinking of the forego, and when they saw Lee Power and Gunite run as strongly as they did in the Alfred G. Vanderbilt, they were like, well, why wait to run against those two monsters for 7 7/8 race for like half the money when we have one monster to try and beat in Cody's Wish, who still has something to prove. Yeah. So they came into it, they took a shot. And it was a huge success. Yeah. And the horse, like you mentioned, ran the best race of his life, got a 110 buyer speed figure, a career best, and is now soon headed to California because Rick Dutrow, the trainer, wants to get that horse out there earlier than later. And I think that backstretch opens up in early to mid-September, and he's going to send him to Doug O'Neill, I believe, and he'll help him out training the horse and preparing him for that race. And look, it's not a strong older male dirt division going a mile and eighth or farther. He fits off that performance.
And the game plan will be to train him up to the Breeders' Cup?
Yeah, that's Dutrow's only had the horse for two races, and when he says, I look at the PPs, and this horse runs his best with 2 to 3 months between races. So instead of trying to squeeze in another one, they're going to train him up to the Breeders' Cup. And I'm not a big fan of that myself, but I'm not a trainer, and I'm certainly not a trainer of the caliber of Rick Dutrow, so... we'll see how it plays out.
Who would imagine going back 10 or 15 years? Yeah, Saratoga to the Breeders' Cup, but now it's kind of become.
And if it was Saratoga to the Breeders' Cup, it would be their last race of the meet. It would be the Woodward, right?
Yeah,
and now it's the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Yeah, they put that. But you figure run there, get you 2 months to the Breeders' Cup. No, we'll do three.
Yeah. Also wanted to mention in the Saratoga Derby, that subdivision I like quite a bit, the 3-year-olds on the turf. We'll take a look at the stretch run program trading. Firmly put himself into the picture in that subdivision of 3-year-olds on the turf for Chad Brown.
What a gutsy performance. Yeah. I liked Web Slingers,
I did too.
Creeping up here on the outside and going to the lead, actually. I actually thought he would have to fend off. I thought here he was going to put away Program Trading.
And kind of had.
And here comes Farbridge. It was like, this is going to be the Belmont Derby all over again. But Program Trading comes back and prevails here by a short head, long nose, and 3 for 3 for Chad Brown. And, look, Chad's horses only get better with age. The future's bright. So this is going to be a serious horse, if not the rest of this year. What do they have to look forward to next year as he gallops out here past those horses? Further might be better.
Yeah, I mean, it was a completely gutsy performance. Only career start, number 3, steps into Stakes Company to do that. But speaking of Klarovich, also reading your column, Chad Brown high on Ways and Means, bright work in the Adirondack Fires, an 89 buyer, but earlier in the day, Ways and Means looking pretty good with a 90 buyer for Chad and Klarovich.
It was funny they had the Weigh the Risks in the first race on the grass, 2-year-old, and Weigh the Means in the second race, and those were two of the ones that he had relayed to me that he was looking forward to running up here that I had put in my 2-year-old story. I was like, wow, this is a great double. I'll crush this double. And I got crushed emotionally because Ways and Means, Weigh the Risks, got a brutal trip and finished second to Ozara for Clement in the first race. And then this filly comes and just runs a hole in the wind. And look, we talk about this at the beginning of the meet, right? So at the 2-year-olds, you never know who's going to show up and just give you that, it's me, it's all about me performance, and that was it. And she was brilliant on a day where we had a 2-year-old stakes, and Bright Work was terrific too.
Yeah.
Not taking anything away from her. 1-point buyer is not going to make a difference, but it sets up a very intriguing, likely scenario matchup in the spinaway between these two, and you'll have the horses 3 for 3 with 2 stakes wins versus the horse that just dazzled everybody in one race. And I think experience matters, but down the road, Ways and Means. And the comments that Chad made, if you read them in my column on Wednesday, were just kind of, you don't hear that from basically saying, I told him basically not to win by too much, or don't let her run all the way to the wire. What? Because there are bigger goals ahead. And so obviously he has something like this, and then the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies as well.
No, I laughed when I read that. How often do you...
I laughed when he said it.
The trainer in the paddock. Yeah, don't let her win by too much. We know we got something here. I was intrigued to read your column because we've been wondering how things were going to shake out with Maj and Arcangelo as far as jockey Castellano goes with Arcangelo.
Well, let's flip it. Let's go the connections of Maj went with Luis Saez.
Okay.
Because the way it sort of shook out is on Tuesday they had asked Javier for a commitment by 4:30 on Tuesday.
Okay.
And he was not necessarily responding. He wanted to do just a little more due diligence, as in who came out of the race well, what's the future long-term for these horses. And they basically said, no, it's 4:30. We want to know. Yeah. He didn't really get back to him, so they put out on Twitter, Luis Saez will ride Maj, and then Javier was like, okay. So I think he was going to go that way anyway, Arcangelo, Javier. But in the end, when it was kind of you know, feet to the fire, the decision was actually made by the connections of Mage.
Which makes it, that's understandable.
Look at the numbers. 3 for 3. Javier is 3 for 3 on Arcangelo, and he's worked the horse twice since the Belmont Stakes. He's 1 for 4 on Mage. Yes, it was his first Kentucky Derby, but he's has been taken off the horse once before after the Fountain of Youth, and you know, wasn't working the horse. So it seems that he's got a little bit more of a rapport here with Arcangelo than even Mage. And this isn't one of those situations where it's politics come to play, where, well, I ride a lot of horses for this person, but I don't ride as many for this person. This was, you know, this is their best horse in both of these barns. And we don't know if there's anything else behind those horses in those barns. So this was a horse-for-horse thing. Again, I think he was leaning towards Arcangelo, but in the end, they made the decision for him.
Interesting. And I have to touch on it because I said on the handicapping show, you and I were talking about it and the rules given the situation going back to Sunday with the pick five. I'm guessing it's something the state, you know, the Racing and Gaming Board has to look at, because you pointed out there wasn't really a capability and read the rule to me. And I went online and actually pulled up the New York State rules, and I plugged in the search box refund and went down to see how often that was mentioned. And there wasn't really a capability in the pick five situation for a refund, but it seems like they need to maybe take a second look at the rule. It's a game played outdoors, and you have to be ready for all kinds of contingencies, and some situations aren't going to have a good answer no matter what, but I think they could come up with a better one in the future.
I think what the regulatory bodies and the racetracks lack is horse player representation. Like, ask these questions to the horse. If this scenario arises, what would you see? What would you as a player like to see? And that doesn't happen. Yeah. If it does happen, it doesn't happen. Now, we have Andy Serling, who is a player, but I don't know that they ask him these types of questions. And if you have that representation, you have that mindset of what's better for the player in these extreme situations, you'll be able to make a sensible rule that doesn't tick everybody off. And in this case, I actually thought, and I'm glad I didn't put it out there, I was under the impression that when X number of legs, meaning 3 or more, come off, it is a refund. And it isn't, obviously. It's an all. And nobody wants all. Just like nobody wants that post, a lot, I'm saying nobody. Most people don't want that post-time favorite. When you have a horse that scratches and you get the post-time favorite and you don't have the option for an alternate, I mean, it's 2023, almost 2024. Technology's there to be able to make these changes.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing, though, when you have that rule and you don't allow for time to extend, it was a beautiful day Sunday. We had all time. We had all the daylight in the world. You could extend, held that race up by 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, and said, you know, give players an opportunity to either cancel or change their bets. And I know most of them would have canceled, but at least they would have felt better coming back the next day to bet. I don't think anybody really felt that great coming back yesterday to bet.
Yeah, and as they say, it seems like something that needs to be revisited, so some better options are available in the future. All right, let's get some ideas over the next couple of days, because there's some nice stakes races coming up tomorrow and Saturday. Tomorrow, the rescheduled Hall of Fame. I'm sticking with the horse I liked in the first iteration of this. I thought Carl Spackler looked really good in the maiden breaker, and we're going to take a look at that stretch run going back to February down at Gulfstream. Carl Spackler wins pretty easily as the number 8 horse now in the American Turf. Kind of flopped a little bit, but I think we stand a good chance of getting back closer to what we saw in the maiden breaker. In the second spot, I went out to number 8, General Jim. I think he's going to be intriguing, trying the turf again. Had some turf on the form, but that Pat Day Mile kind of touted this horse as an interesting 3-year-old. And Mischievous Angel for Chad Brown, and only the second start. We saw what he can do stepping into stakes company with Program Trader with lightly raced horses. It's a fun addition to the Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts?
This is, the problem with this is you don't know what kind of grass you're going to get.
Exactly.
We're off again on Thursday. Weather coming in later, so I'm not really sure. I had a little bit of a price idea here, but I don't know how that horse will handle given the ground behind enemy lines. So I was at Gulfstream Park the day that he won that Cutler Bay Stakes, and I was kind of impressed by him. He also ran in the American Turf, and I believe he finished I think he finished ahead of Carl Spackler a little bit, or they were pretty close.
Yeah, he did.
And
yeah,
then he came out and ran in the finished second behind Major Dude in the Penn Mile. And I just thought I thought I thought there's some talent here, and I thought he was a little bit of a value play potentially, and it looks like the works have been pretty good as well, turf and dirt. So I just hope, and there's some pedigree there to say, you know, this European blood in this horse's veins, and I'm thinking, man, maybe the soft might help him. So I was looking for a little bit of a stranger, and I think behind enemy lines. I'm not sure what he's listed at on the morning line there.
8-1.
I thought he was intriguing for Jack Sisterson.
Do we know what the situation is with Rosario?
So I'm told he was supposed to come back today.
Okay.
I haven't heard yet for sure if he is. He had stitches in his lower lip, or either the gums or lower lip, as a result of the Maple Leaf Mel situation, and he was just general body soreness. And
you
know, yesterday there was four. He had four mounts, two of them scratched. So in essence, he took off two. He just bought himself another day. So he's had now four full days off, Sunday through Wednesday. I believe he's going to be back on today.
All right. Also tomorrow, the Evan Shipman, $125,000 for the New York Breds. I took a shot with Bankett in here, and I didn't call up any replays, but I thought Bankett, on the recency, but clearly the horse to beat is going to be the Return of American Revolution. I just, off the long layoff, I didn't know whether I should pull the trigger, but he adds a lot of interest to the shipment tomorrow.
Well, it's hard to bet on American Revolution because of the name recognition, the fact that he's undefeated against New York Breds, and the fact he's a Grade One winner. He's going to be a short price, and you're like,
he's even money on the morning line.
Coming off an 11-month layoff, you don't know what to do with him, and if you don't think anyone can beat him, then you watch the race. If you like Bankett, who typically is a short price, and especially in these state bred races, maybe, you know, his value might, there might be value. He did win this race last year, albeit in the last possible jump, beating Seafoam in what was a 3-horse field. But this is a race, and we'll see. I mean, you kind of like to see American Revolution come back, because as we mentioned when we were talking about White Barrier, we don't have that deep group of older male dirt horses, and this was one who was cut out to have a good year. He didn't have one last year, and he hasn't had a start yet this year, so we'll see if they got him back going again, and it'd be kind of fun if he did.
Yeah, you look at all the triple digits, but another thing that jumped out at me is comebacker last year was the 94 fourth place finish, so I'm taking a little pop against him, but we'll see what he does.
I can't blame you.
He had
another horse intriguing there, maybe if he can get off the inside a little bit, is Dr. Ardito. This horse was running very well at the one turn mile and downstate. I think he got kind of stuck early in the race inside and couldn't make up the ground that he needed to once he got outside in the commentator.
Yeah, I have him in the third spot. And I'll also mention rooting for our friends at Eddie Epps with Lobster, certainly. Saturday, a couple of nice stakes races we'll hit on as well. Saturday in the Saratoga Special, we're looking at two-year-olds. And I, you know, the number in the maiden special win at Ellis for Rhyme Schemes. We're looking at a 94. We're going to take a look at that race. It goes back to the middle of June. Rhyme Schemes is going to be the number two horse for Norm Cassie. And again, with a 94 buyer, that horse is going to take a lot of action. But these races, they're all lightly racing, have shown some talent. So it's an intriguing race, certainly, as is typical for the two-year-old stakes up at Saratoga.
Well, look, the experience factor favors him. He's got the two starts, and he does run away from this group here. I'm not sure exactly what was behind him. I need to go back and look up that race a little bit and see. There were many behind him because he beat 10, or beat 9. But he did do it very well. He got a lot out of that. You know, he got something out of that first race, which was just okay. I mean, look, the cameraman's doing all he can to keep him in the shot with what's behind him. So it gives you half that performance. He might be really solid tomorrow or Saturday. Kind of interested a little bit in Edified, partly because Steve Aspies has won this race 5 times, really 6, if you add in the fact 1 year he was serving some days, and Scott Blasi was the trainer of record. But that's so, like, if you put that one in his corner, that's equals the James Rose record of 6. And Edified was a solid winner on his debut at Ellis also. And don't forget Lucas. Lucas' horse seemed to run better the second time they're on the grounds here. And his horse actually, he was 6th in the Sanford. I would expect improvement from that race. And look, he got to think he's got to be better than 6th here because there's only 6th in the race.
Yeah. And behind Yo-Yo Candy there in the Sanford, again, a rebound. But the two you mentioned, too, I like as well, Rhyme Schemes and Edified for Asmussen. All right, also on Saturday, it is the 4-star, Dave, and I just had to pull up the replay of the Kelso. Lee Einsiedler and Bill Mott get it done with Casa Creed. And they said after this race they were aiming for the four-star day, but the horse was just kind of tearing down the stall, and so they said, let's take a shot in the Kelso. They get it done in the Kelso, but now can they put two together up here at Saratoga with that one? He's certainly coming in very good form.
And he loves it here. I mean, this is definitely a horse for course here. I think this is going to be the fourth year he's going to run in this race. He's won up here three times, I believe. In Annapolis seemed to be a little spotty on this particular day. And he was coming off a little bit of a layoff, though. You know, he won the opening verse. He was going to run in the poker. He got a temperature. No, he had a foot. He had a frog, an abscess, a little foot issue with a frog. He missed the poker, so Todd went to the bench and pulled out Emmanuel, who won the poker. And then now he's got them both ready for this. So I would expect with Annapolis having, you know, not as much of a break in between. And look, he's, you know, we've got the video here. He's wide and he's last at the top of the lane here. Casa Creed definitely got the jump on him. I think it'll come down to these two again. And I think the factor will be what is the turf condition like? I don't think necessarily either one of them really want it soft. Now, don't hold Annapolis's loss at the Penn Mile, which I believe is still on the paper here. You know, he got beat by like an 80-1 shot that day. That was the type of turf course like we had here for the Saratoga Oaks. It was one of those days where if it was any other day at Penn National, they would have taken it off the turf. But that was their big day, and that was a bottomless course. And he ran well enough. He didn't run out the back door. He was second. So I think he can handle some give in the ground. You just don't want to be boggy.
Yeah.
And I don't think Casa Creed wants it to be boggy either. So if it's not one of those two, I think you'd go to Emmanuel. But, you know, if it's not one of those three, then it's going to be pay big balloons because these three are going to take most, if not all, the money.
Yeah, certainly Casa Creed, fun story as well, being a horse that likes it and has had a very nice career for Lee. Always fun to root for Lee. And when you talk about horses that didn't like the ground, we should go back to last weekend. Caravelle, I just don't think likes it soft.
Yeah, and the good news for them is the Breeders' Cup's at Santa Anita, so they won't have to worry about that for the ultimate goal. How they get to the Breeders' Cup from here, I'm not sure. I guess you just, wherever the weather's the best.
Yeah.
And the course is infirm. But I agree with you. It's funny. 2 years ago, Caravelle raced the Parks on what just a terrible turf course and was awful. And I said, you know what, I'm going to try and, everyone's going to look at that and say, no good. So I bet Caravelle 2 years ago. So when she won last year the Breeders' Cup, I said, I had Caravelle last year. she's just proven that she wants it firm. So we'll see where she went.
So there was a legit excuse for her performance last weekend. Dave, always appreciate the visit. Tell people to swing by, pick up a hard copy of the Daily Racing Form, drf.com, for Dave's coverage normally. And also I tout the workout reports. Great way to get some information that everybody else doesn't have. On the workouts, very important up here with the two-year-olds as well. Dave, appreciate it. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Seth.
All right, we'll take a break. Jason Brinkman from America's Pastime Stables in the house. We'll talk about the locally based partnership and more right after this. Stay tuned.
Just watch the races when you can be in the middle of the action. For nearly 20 years, Bonaventure Stables' share-based ownership program has made thoroughbred ownership affordable for the everyday fan. Ownerships of 5 and 10% are now available on a nice selection of horses. As a partial owner with Bonaventure Stables, you'll enjoy all the benefits afforded every owner. Visit with your horse in the private stable area. Greet the trainers and jockeys in the paddock. And when your horse wins, savor the moment in the winner's circle at Saratoga, Belmont, Aqueduct, or wherever you bring home the prize. Based in historic Saratoga Springs, Bonaventure Stables has been training winners and creating memories since 2005. Learn more, see available horses, and meet our team at bonaventurestables.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, it's our friend Jason Brinkman from America's Pastime Stables, locally based partnership. Very easy to spot them with the baseball logo on the silks. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you on. Talk a little bit about the partnership and whatnot. And part of the team also, Brian Spagnola. I meant to pull up the picture, and I didn't. Brian, America's Pastime, you're tied in because you guys are all both tied in with what's the name of the league?
It's the Perfect Game Collegiate Baseball League.
Okay,
so he operates the Amsterdam Mohawks, and then I'm affiliated with the Albany Dutchman.
And we were at an Albany Dutchman game last summer, and we were down at the Amsterdam, my old home burg, earlier this summer, and I was going to pull up the picture because we went out, and there was a little benefit for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation with a raffle and whatnot. And as we walked in, Brian said, "So who's throwing out the first pitch?" And I'm just there visiting, so I'm kind of like, and Kim Weir says, "Seth," and I'm like, "Wait, whoa!" And I was going to bring in the picture because that the form looked great, but I bounced it in. But I'll ask your opinion.
It was a good pitch.
My colleague Anthony Marmino was like, "Hey, if you bounced it in, that's no." I said, "Come on, I had no warm up. The catcher didn't have to move it. Hit the plate and bounced right into his glove."
Listen, that's tough to get out there without a warm up, without getting your arm loose. So no, I thought it was a pretty good go.
And throwing a baseball, I was very happy with it. But you guys do a great job over on that side of things as well. They're all college kids, right?
They are, yeah. All the kids are still in college. They come to us with hopes of one day, hopefully, you know, playing in Major League Baseball. And they play a minor league-type schedule with us throughout June and July. So that just wrapped up for the season. But now we can focus on some horse racing.
And I tell people that, you know, next summer get out and enjoy it because the game we saw down in Albany last year and the game in Amsterdam, a lot of fun, good crowds. And it's an evening. You know, a lot of extra events and entertainment. The kids all get into the mix as well, so we tout that also. But as I said, the guys in the control room can pull up because I did pull up a picture that I think I'd taken within the last couple of years, or maybe I pulled it off your website, but it was a picture of the silks, so very notable. You can easily pick out the America's Pastime Racing Stable silks with the baseball on there, and I guess as you guys got into the game and decided this was a no-brainer.
Yeah, Brian and his son actually sat at their kitchen table and sketched out the original design on a napkin, and you know the rest is history. So we had a similar version. We also have a women's division of the stable, League of Their Own Racing, which is the silks that are being shown there. So we just, you know, we changed up the colors a little bit, but the overall design is the same.
Yeah, very good. And let's talk a little bit about some of the results recently up here at Saratoga. Oof! Early in the meet, a tough loss. We're going to take a look at allowance optional claimer going back to July 19th. Lisa's Vision, the number four, is going to be the winner. You guys had classic colors in here as a 14-1 shot. This is yeah, I don't know whether I wanted to pull up the replay, but
every time I watch this, I still think that we win. And you know, when we were watching live, I didn't quite think that we had got it. And then we watched the replay, and there was
and
a few
again,
of us.
You're the one coming.
We thought we got our nose down, and I mean, we were actually a few steps walking towards the winner's circle, and then they flashed the four. So it was just, it was brutal. And even in the the photo, I mean, it's literally you could fit a piece of thread between the two noses. So, you know, it is what it is. If you had told me that morning that we were going to finish second with that horse, I mean, we claimed that horse for $5,000.
Oh.
So to be able to bring it to Saratoga and have that result, we'll certainly take it. But it always stings just a little bit when you're that close to a win.
Outran the odds, though, obviously at 14-1. That was a very good effort. Will we see that one again?
We should see that one again. That horse is back with Brittany Russell. We shipped that back down, but that horse will ship back up later in the meet.
Okay, very good. And another one I want to catch up on potentially seeing again, because this one was entered on the turf today in race 9, but again with the off-the-turf situation, front man out. But we're going to go back a couple of races for front man, and we're going to see a win for America's Pastime. Frontman's going to be the number one here. Subsequently did have a start up here at Saratoga, correct?
He did, yeah. You know, didn't have his best effort, but yeah, this is back at Belmont. Had a nice win here. This has been a good horse for us in our barn with the Canter Mossies. So,
And again, nice win going down to Belmont. And given the situation of the scratch today, when you sat down, I asked, and you are looking at a race in the condition book later in the meet.
Yeah, it looks like September 1st we'll go a mile and an eighth on the turf. So, you know, we were going to do one or the other. So luckily this doesn't, you know, really make us miss a start or anything. It probably just freshens him up a little bit for that, that start at the beginning of September.
You and I were texting yesterday and you said another interesting one to look at. And this is very interesting because you guys have a broodmare, Ben A. Pista. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes. Yeah. Ben A. Pista.
And so, as owners, racing, breeders, as a breeder, you won a Derby. Just a couple of nights ago, the Manitoba Derby, your mayor produced the winner there, Mano Dura, and you say the mayor is now standing right out here at McMahon.
Yeah, the mayor is over at McMahon Farms, right in Saratoga, and but that was a huge win for her 3-year-old. You know, now makes her a black type winning producer. So, you know, it'll be great for her value moving forward.
And so did you guys breed this horse, or did you pick up the mare after?
We did not. We picked up the mare afterwards.
All right. Well, that's a nice little bonus to put on the resume after you pick up the mare, certainly.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've had a few babies out of this mare since then. A horse by Hightail, and then also a Daredevil and Salamini. So, we're excited, you know, once those horses actually get to the racetrack, and but that should obviously help their value moving forward as well.
That's very nice. Yeah, nice little Derby winner on the resume. I mean, it's the Manitoba Derby, but it's a Derby winner on the resume. That's very nice. And so we'll look forward to seeing some of those babies as well. And talk a little bit about America's Pastime Racing and playing the game, because the partnerships, when I have partnership people on here, they're all different levels, all different price points. And I tell people, if you're thinking about it, visit the websites and do some research. But talk about where you guys play the game.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten involved in quite a few different things. I mean, we started, you know, just with claiming, and we're still very active with claiming. This year, though, we'll have our biggest crop of 2-year-olds ever. We've got 13 2-year-olds this year. You know, we made some private purchases. We're obviously doing a lot of breeding, so we're involved in quite a few different areas of the industry, and you know, we like to be able to cater to, you know, what people are looking for. We do everything from, you know, the people that are just looking to get their, you know, the bare minimum, get their ownership credentials, all the way to, you know, we have clients that, you know, buy larger chunks of, you know, a lot of different horses. So you know, we've really grown and expanded over the last 4 years and you know, look to continue to do the same thing moving forward.
Part of that is, tomorrow you have a firster in the seventh race, and I noted there it's America's Pastime Racing and Michael Dubb. And I saw you're also teamed in with Bloom Racing, so you guys have gotten in with some of the names in the game over the past year or so.
Yeah, we've been able to, you know, have some really nice relationships develop and start to, you know, buy horses and you know, take some pieces of different horses with different people, different partnerships. So it's really allowed us to, you know, expand, start working with new people. But yeah, we're excited about this first time starter tomorrow.
Drinking Solo in the seventh
Drinking
race.
Solo, yep. I love that name. The horse is a colt by Salamini, which is a solo, and then the dam is Bring Your Own Bottle, hence the Drinking Solo.
I like that. So. Yeah, very good. What are you expecting tomorrow?
We'll see. You know, I like us, but looks like there's a couple other, you know, pretty good horses in there. So,
as you would expect at Saratoga.
Yeah, listen, it's always tough.
State bred race, you guys going to be over at the sales on Sunday and Monday?
We will be over there, yep. We've got a... an audible yearling colt that's going to be selling on Monday.
Oh, okay.
So we'll certainly be over there for that, and you know, we'll be tracking the sale, and you know, maybe we'll get involved with something, but we'll at least be there following along.
Always looking. How do you guys play the claiming game? I mean, are you guys yourselves looking, or are your trainers kind of pointing, hey, maybe you want to take a look at this one?
Yeah, a little bit of both. you know, I mean, we're certainly active on a daily basis, but as you know, it's really tough to claim around here. You
up
know,
here, it's everyone's got 20-person shake, and it's
yeah,
tough.
Yeah, I mean, it does create some opportunities, though, because people do drop their horses down to levels where they want to win. Yep, certainly later in the meet when there's, you know, owners and trainers, you know, that are trying to, you know, get meet titles.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's tough when there's, you know, 20 other people in a shake against you, so... Yeah.
Talk a little bit about, and again, I always mention this when we have partnerships as well, particularly at Saratoga. A lot of it is the social aspect. You get a chance to meet new people, like-minded people who are racing fans. And up here, when you guys have horses racing, you can bring the partners in the paddock and hopefully out for a winner's circle picture, but in the back stretch as well. So there's just a whole social aspect to it as well.
Oh, that's a huge part of it. Yeah. I mean, the social interactions and just... You know, having a good time with it, and you know, coming over, we did our partner picnic in the backyard on Sunday. We had about 70 people that were with us. So, you know, we try to do a lot of things like that where just get everybody together, have fun, and you know, whether it's going into the paddock before you know one of our own races or just getting together for a drink at the track, you know, it's just there's a lot of you know fun social things that go along with it too.
It's all part of it, man. Watch seeing you guys and seeing some of the other partnerships, I can vouch for it's a lot of fun, and the fun ramps up when you guys all get to go into the winner's circle. I'm expecting the remainder of the meet, you guys plan to have a number of starters for the rest of the meet, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we should be loaded here, you know, the rest of the way. I mean, between our two-year-olds and the horses that we already have, I believe the number, we have about 37 that are here. Most of them are here. We have entries, at least a few.
And you spread out amongst a few different trainers, right?
We are, yeah. I think, I don't even know the number now, but we're with at least 8 different trainers now.
Oh, okay. Very good. Got the website there if people want to visit. I was looking last night, and a lot of great information there, and always tell people for the partnerships, look at the websites and just check out and see what the roster is, and contact information is there. If people are interested, you're at the track all the time. If people see you around the track, they can ask you, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. If they see us, you know, see myself or Brian or, you know, Maude that runs our women's division of the stable, certainly, you know, feel free to come up and say hi. You know, all of our contact information is on the website as well. And, you know, even if people are just curious and, you know, wanting to find out more information and, you know, getting an idea of how things work behind the scenes, you know, we certainly encourage everybody to, you know, to reach out and connect and say hi. And, you know, we're very low pressure, you know, as far as trying to get people in. We just want to have fun with it and make sure that other people do too.
And you alluded to, mentioned Maude, and again, we had the shot at they can pull up the silks again, the pink version, a league of their own, which is your kind of women's division, as it were.
It is, yeah. The women's division, League of Their Own Racing, started about a year ago.
And there's Maude on the left.
Yep, there's Maude. Karen Heath on the other side, who actually... just speaking with this morning, she's going to start working with us as well. But yeah, Maude headed up that division, and you know, we've got a few horses for them now, and want to continue to look to grow that partnership as well. And that's been off to a great start, and Maude's doing a great job building that.
Maude very enthusiastic about the game, and also had what may be my favorite party of the year so far. Had the wood-fired pizza truck, the band in the backyard, and yeah, great time.
Good time.
Again, playing into the whole social aspect, which makes Saratoga so much fun. Jason, appreciate the visit. We tell people to visit the website. Again, if you see Jason around the track, feel free to inquire a little bit and learn a little bit more if you're thinking, that might be fun to be an owner or a part owner. I guarantee it is from looking at the smile on people's faces who do participate. But appreciate the visit this morning, and we'll talk again.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate it. And good luck on the remainder of the meet as well. All right, we'll wrap it up for Racing Across America on this Thursday morning. Don't forget, Low Rollers today up here if you're coming up. Gorgeous day. So that is a great idea. Prize wheel down at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon. Tomorrow, don't forget, cookout at the Clubhouse. 1 to 5, burgers, hot dog, baked beans, pasta salad, $10 at the Clubhouse Racebook. Also tomorrow, the Trifecta Challenge at the Racebook, Bounty Bet. Tomorrow, the show pool, Sunday show pool, will open online. And over the weekend at the Racebook, $100 Play the Board on Saturday, double promo on Sunday. So keep all of that in mind for today and going forward. Enjoy the races this afternoon. Cash a few tickets. Back in tomorrow morning here on the network, 9 a.m. Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. Racing Across America. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. And the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.